no sense.
WJBR Internet Radio for the inquisitive mind and the sophisticated ear. Have her talk about that stuff. We also have a newcomer coming up. I posted his really, really sexy picture. His name is Carl Thornton. And he has a new single out called Get Up. And we're going to talk to him about that. You know, I'm all about promoting people, indie artists, people who are doing their thing. And yeah. So it's going to be a great, great show. I'm excited. I hope you are too. And I want to kick it off with one of my favorite songs. Yeah, that's the great thing about having your own radio show. You play what the hell you want to play, right? Isn't that cool? Okay. So with that, I want to give a shout out to Miss Dawn Robinson of En Vogue. You know, you got to check this lady out. She's always just writing positive things out there, just putting out positive messages on Facebook and so forth. And she's very encouraging to me personally. So with that, I want to play a Lucy Pearl song. That's my favorite. Dance tonight.
Money tonight, I want it.
mean, how can you not dance when you hear that song? Oh, my goodness, I love it. Shout outs to Rafael Sadiq as well, you know? That's the man right there. Speaking of the man, let's check in with the man in the basement, Nathan James, find out what's going on. And now, what's going on with Nathan James?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nathan James, and here's what's going on. Michael Sam, who made history this year as the first openly gay athlete to play for an NFL team, has been recognized by ESPN with the Arthur Ashe Courage Award, which the St. Louis rookie received at the ESPY Awards ceremony earlier this week. Michael Sam was a seventh-round pick at the NFL, and he was the NCAA's 2013 Southeastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year while at his alma mater, Mizzou. And he made a very stirring acceptance speech during the ceremony, noting his place in history and how his support system of friends, teammates, and the league all helped him to succeed as an out athlete. Michael Sam said, "The Arthur Ashe Courage Award is a big honor, much bigger than just me. This year I've had a lot of experience being part of something bigger than myself. Since coming out to his college team and family at the start of last year's football season, Michael Sam knew he wanted to go to the major leagues, and he sought guidance from Wade Davis, who was the executive director of the You Can Play Foundation, which is an advocacy group for our LGBT athletes. Michael Sam begins with the 2014 season with a four-year, $2.6 million contract with the St. Louis Rams. In international news, it was announced yesterday that scores of prominent HIV/AIDS researchers were among the dead in the shooting down of a Malaysian Airlines 777 jetliner on Thursday, where 298 passengers and crew lost their lives when the plane came to the ground in eastern Ukraine. The plane was suddenly hit by a surface-to-air missile over the disputed Donetsk region of the former Soviet Republic, and the International AIDS Society released a statement of condolence on its website, saying that the International AIDS Society today expresses its sincere sadness at receiving news that a number of colleagues and friends en route to attend the 20th International AIDS Conference taking place in Melbourne, Australia, were on board the flight that has crashed over the Ukraine. The conference, which is a major gathering of all types of HIV/AIDS healthcare workers, physicians, scientists, immunologists, and AIDS activists, is considered one of the most important seminars in the world in the fight against the global pandemic. Because the parties responsible for shooting down the plane have not yet been definitively revealed, however, President Obama in a White House conference said that pro-Russian separatists that held territory in northeastern Ukraine were responsible for shooting the plane down and that they had received help from the Russian government. In the largest city in New Jersey today, Newark Pride Fest kicks off a big weekend with a fashion show, an after party, and tomorrow a parade and festival in the Washington Park area. The Grand Marshal, Miss Teresa Randolph, will lead off the parade that begins at Broad Street and Raymond Boulevard at 1 p.m. and immediately following the Pride Festival in the park goes until 8:30 p.m. Tonight, a fashion show at the Robert Treat Hotel will feature R&B singer Naj, fashion designer Marco Hall, and other notable fashionistas from around our community. I'm Nathan James, and that's what's going on.
Thank you so much, Nathan, for letting us know what's going on. Just hold on, baby.
And how are you?
I'm sorry, say that again.
And how are you today?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay today. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing all right, getting ready for a busy weekend. It's always a pleasure to be here on the show with you and looking forward to hearing what Deeper Soul has to say this morning.
Yes, yes, yes. This should be a great show, you know. It's not easy. It's not easy, you know. I've tried to do things on smaller scales and, you know, it's what she does is humongous and phenomenal, and she brings a lot of recognition to those of us who might not have gotten it otherwise. So, you know, she's been keeping the ball rolling for quite a few years. So,
yes, she has. Yes, she has. I've known her for a long time.
Yeah, she's a wonderful human being. So, I feel blessed to have her here. And, of course, if you hang out and hold on, you'll be able to say hello.
Okay. Thank you, Javon.
All right, sweetie. Hold on. And right now, we're going to play a little Kenny Bobian. How about that?
Yeah! True.
That's Kenny Bobian with Grateful. And you know I am. And somebody actually asked me if I had a theme song, what would it be? And it probably would be Grateful. But on some days, it sounds something like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have someone very special here this evening. Who's going to perform for us?
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx.
I got money. You got plenty to show. And that's funny. Because I've seen it before. You want to hold my hand. You want to hold my dough. You got love for sale. I don't need it. 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 Any money and more, I had a minute, that was a long time ago. You wanna spend my time, you wanna spend my dough. You got love for sale, I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it.
Of mine, Lynn Summers. It's only physical. Now, I want you to hit the love button on this. Give us a call and let us know how you feel about it. I love this song. You let me know how you feel.
love me, but emotionally you don't. My friends say wait and see if things will change, but I know they won't. Each and every day I pray that you see the signs, but I soon realize that this has all been a waste of time. Well,
And I love the way it ended, nice and smooth, as opposed to as abruptly as some songs end. We have a caller on the line, 7469. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Javon, it's Lynn Summer.
Hey! Surprise, surprise. What's up, Lynn?
Surprise, surprise. How you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. Yeah, you. As you know, we just played your song. Look at that.
Wow,
congratulations on your new release.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
How did that come about? Who were you working with? What's the deal with that?
About 2 years ago, I met a young man by the name of Aaron Prince at a Brooklyn Pride event, and Cheryl and Javon were late. So we were in the VIP room, you know, chatting it up, and he, you know, told me that he had some songs and wanted a female singer and asked me would I like to give it a shot. And through him, I met Joe Flame, and it was on and cracking, I think, from that day. We went through, you know, a bunch of different tracks, and he gave me the lyrics, and I looked them over, and I changed, you know, a few words here and there to kind of give the song a feminine point of view. And I was going to open mic one night when we were together, and I just started humming this melody. Aaron saw it another way. I just started singing the words to the melody that was in my head that was coming through me, and then the next thing you know, this song was born. So it was a 2 year process to get this song together, because Aaron is an artist in his own right, and he has, you know, a lot of things going on under his own label. And Joe Flame has been working with other artists and whatnot as well. And, you know, so it took a little bit of a process to get this together, but, you know, it's together now.
Yeah, so, and I really hope that you guys have a lot more to come. This song, It's Only Physical, is great.
Thank you.
Fabulous, and it will be in regular rotation, not just because I love you, but because I love the song. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, just that. Shout out to Joe Flame and Aaron, and hang out, Lynn, because Deeper Soul, Deirdre Meredith, who you probably met last year at my Equality concert,
mm-hmm.
The CEO of Out Music Awards,
mm-hmm.
is going to be on the show, and maybe she'll let you know how to submit your song for a potential prize. You never know.
Oh, okay.
Award, rather, not
that.
Prize, but award. Let's just hold on, okay, baby?
Okay.
All right, great. And now I would like to introduce you to another up-and-coming artist who has just released his first, I believe it's his first single, and his name is Carl Thornton, and I have been happily throwing his half-naked picture around all over the internet because I think he looks gorgeous. So with that, I want to introduce everybody to Carl Thornton.
Hey, morning.
You are adorable.
Am I?
Yes. What? Do you like work out every day? Is like the gym your thing?
Listen. You know
or
what?
Are you like 18? Is that what it is?
No, the deal is working out through the years has helped me not only physically but emotionally. It's helped me emotionally because and mentally, because whenever I was, you know, doing shows, I always went to the gym to release that stress, and
mm-hmm.
I got in the habit of going there, and it has become a ritual for me. I must. If I don't go to the gym, you know, if I take a couple of days off, I don't feel good inside. So that's why I go. It's really, really good. I tell people for you emotionally. I recommend it highly.
Wow.
And, you know, physically, you know what I mean? Physically, it's nice. You know, I want to keep my sexy on.
You know, that's right. I need to start working out or something because I'm just falling apart, baby. It's a shame, but, you know, I just put a few pictures up.
You know, walk on the treadmill for a minute. You know what I mean? You don't have to be so, it doesn't have to be that deep. Just go in there for a couple of minutes and get on out.
You just
know?
Made me tired. I'm just teasing. But yeah, that's something that we should all do. I had a physical fitness trainer on once before, and I'm gonna have her come back. Her name is Jay Davis. She's like a professional boxer, and she's the fitness trainer to the stars. But she scared me, honey. She was talking about, yeah, we'll get you in shape. As soon as people say that to me, I get a little nervous because you know it ain't gonna be easy. You can't turn a square into a circle easily. You know. But
yeah.
So that's not exactly what we're here to talk about today. I mean, we are, because you are gorgeous, and I did plaster that one naked picture. Now, you sent me a lot of pictures, but the half-naked one, that's the one I just threw all over the place. But the reason that we're here is to talk about your music. So
yeah.
I understand that you've been singing since you were a little boy. How did you know that you could sing, and when did you know that that's what you wanted to do?
What happened was my mom, you know, put me into the glee club, the choir, in school. And so when we had our first performance, something just came over me. It was as if I had an epiphany that is what I wanted to do with my life, to sing. I just knew from, I think I was about 8 years old, and I knew from that moment when I sang and opened my mouth that this is what I want to do with my life. And from there on, you know, of course, my life took different journeys, you know what I mean? But I'm here, and I'm living my dream. You know, I see it coming to fruition. So I'm filled with such joy. Yeah.
So. How did you? I'm sorry. What were you gonna say?
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say, how did you get to the point that you are now? I know you've done. This is your first. Is this your first single?
This is my first single, but I've done other things in the industry. You know, I do musical theater. I've done some musical theater. I've done some backup singing. Like I was in Rent, and I was in Five Guys Named Moe, and I went on the road with those shows. And, oh, my God, I've done, what haven't I done? I've done industrials in Germany. I've done cruise ships. I worked for Royal Caribbean for a while, and that's how I got to see a lot of the world. I was in China singing in clubs over there four months, a year and a half ago. So I even sang back up for Robinette. So my life has, my journey has been, you know, it's been a little different. I've done a lot of things, but I've always wanted to record, and I had a fear of doing it. And about a year ago, I went to listen to a fellow performer, and that night, once I left the show, I told myself that I'm going to do it. I said, Carl, this is your moment, and you are going to record. So I had to light a fire under my behind to get up off my ass and record and face the fear. And so I faced that fear. And having faced that fear, this is where it's led me right here in this moment now and talking to you. You
wow.
know, so, yeah. Yeah. It's about, I mean, fear can cripple you. But if you have to take your own power, you have to take that power and utilize that fear, utilize it, recognize that you are afraid, but still face it. And once you come out on the other side, it's incredible. It really is.
Exactly.
I hope I'm not getting too deep.
No. We get it in the basement. You know, this is just us just chit-chatting and talking and getting to know one another. You know, and you're right about fear. This show that you're on right now is really brand new. You mentioned Robin S.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I just have to take a moment and just speak about her for a second. She is
okay.
So encouraging and
yeah.
supportive.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Robin S. of show. You got to show me love and all I do and all that. So I, you know, if you know the listeners to know who she is, she was actually on this show. And you know, it's not always easy to get celebrities and so forth and so on to do things if they're not getting paid for it. And or if they don't see the value in it, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to, you know, whatever, or for whatever reason, I guess, you know, I'm not going to speculate on why some celebrities are more difficult to engage than others, but she was very encouraging. And she was like, this is your party. Invite people to your party. They will come, you know, and it's just, some things that she said, the way she said them, it really hit me in a way that it had not struck me before. And
mm-hmm.
Then I saw how she is with other people and how supportive she is with them. And she loves you.
You know, and the feeling is mutual. She has always been one of my biggest cheerleaders. And, you know, in this day and age, you know, you have some people in your corner and sometimes you think that they are and they aren't. And she has really been a woman of her word. And I so appreciate her. I really appreciate her and I love her dearly, madly. And
yeah.
I'm grateful that she's in my life. Yeah.
It's one thing when people talk about it, but it's a whole other thing. It's a whole other set of balls. I mean, well, I didn't mean set of balls, but it's a whole other ball of wax is what I meant to say. When they be about it. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop talking because obviously I'm delirious right now. I'm crazy. So, okay, so you worked with Robin. You did some... traveling.
Musical theater.
You've traveled
musical
the world. You've been places I can't even pronounce. So I have no choice but to respect that. And now you're doing your thing. So what's
yeah.
been the most exciting of all the things that you've done so far?
The most exciting of all the things that I've done?
Yes.
Wow, that's tough. That's tough. My first role in a musical was exciting. I have to say that. And now having recorded this single is exciting because I'm seeing the fruits of my labor. You know what I mean? If that's making sense. You know, I've planted some seeds and I'm seeing the flowers bloom. I love metaphors.
So do I.
So this is exciting to me right now. This moment is extremely exciting to me because this is what I've dreamt of doing, but was afraid to do. And now that I've done it, I see that there's nothing you can't accomplish if you set your mind to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this moment right here is exciting for me because I'm on another journey, I'm on another path. Yeah.
Excellent. And what do you have planned for the future?
For the future, I got to finish recording.
So you have new songs coming up?
Yeah, I have to finish recording. I have to do that, and I, of course, have to record videos. I just
Absolutely.
Need the videos record. And I want to start performing more. So that is what's in my future. But I've got to get – I got to finish recording first.
Yes. Okay, and with that, I'm going to let the people hear what you have recorded.
Awesome.
Right now we're going to play – get up. So everybody get ready to dance, because this is really going to, you can't just sit and listen to this. This is going to make you move. This is Carl Thornton with Get Up.
Everybody lives for the weekend.
I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
I mean, if I'm going to be working out, I'm going to be working out to that.
Okay. See, it inspires that, you to get up and work out a little. You know what I mean? If
you
that's
know
what it inspires
saying?
You to do.
Yeah. That thing makes me want to jump up and down, you know? And clap my hands. Clap my hands. That's what's up. I'm loving it. I'm digging it. That's the bomb. Did you write that, or did someone else write it for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did. No, I
wrote
it. Yeah.
That is just dope, Carl. How can people get in touch with you? How can people find your music? How can they buy it? If they just want to tweet or Facebook you, can you give us all
okay.
your handles?
Sure. They can get the music on iTunes and Amazon. They can follow me on Twitter at Carl-T-Music. They can also like me, please, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook page. And please like me. And that's how they can also get in touch with me, too, through Facebook.
Excellent.
Yeah, so Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, Amazon.com. All those good things.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and it was fun.
Yes.
I was a little nervous. I always get nervous, but it was easy. It was a conversation we were having. I liked it.
Yeah, it's just us. You know, we all family. We just haven't, you know, hugged each other yet. But you know.
Right.
It's all good. You know, we're in the basement. We're just chilling. We having brunch,
cool.
Just chilling
cool.
And listening to your music, good music. You know what I'm saying? Nothing to be scared of. I won't bite, you know. I won't tie you up and, you know, okay, forget that. Anyway, baby, stay in touch. You know, you could call us anytime you want and say,
okay.
Javon, I haven't heard you play my song in a while. And you know
okay,
what?
Okay, cool. I'm going to do
I'll
that.
I'll play
I'm
it.
I'm going to do that. I'm
going
to hold you to that, too. All right.
Yes. You do that.
Awesome.
You do that. True that. Okay?
Excellent.
So, and also, the CEO and of the LGBT Recording Arts is going to be coming on in a few minutes. The Academy of Recording Arts, and she's also the executive producer of the Out Music Awards, and she'll be coming on
okay.
soon. So you might also want to ask her a question or something like that about how to get your music out there or how to apply for an award. So just hold on.
Okay.
We're going to play some more music, and she's going to be on. And that goes for anybody else out there who may want to buy a ticket and support the Out Music Awards or the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts, you know, just,
okay.
you know, yeah. So thanks again, and just hold on right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. We're going to play another call who is the founder of the LGBT, well, it's not just LGBT, it's Unity Fellowship Church Movement. It's all people's movement. It's very affirming, and one of the biggest and greatest LGBT affirming churches, bisexual, transgender, straight, gay, whoever you are, just come on and you have a place to love and be loved. Call Bean. Born this way.
I'm walking through life in nature's disguise. Yeah. You laugh at me and you criticize. Yeah. 'Cause I'm happy, carefree, and gay. Yes, I'm gay. Ain't no fault for that. I was born this way. Now I won't touch you.
yes. And after that, I think it's only fitting that we introduce not only, I mean, titles are wonderful, and I'm going to give you her title in a second, but beyond what she's done in the LGBT community, which is phenomenal, what she's done for young people, it's phenomenal what she's done for LGBT musicians. And those are the things that I know about off the top of my head. But also a good person, a good human being, you know, who wants to, I don't know what she wants, but because I can't speak for anybody else. But I know that her effect on me has been encouraging. You know, she encourages me to keep doing the things that I do, to be bigger than my small mind thinks I am, and just to keep being out there and supporting other people. And, you know, it's not easy. It's just not easy to give so much and sometimes not even know just how appreciated you really are. And I'm hoping to convey to her today that I appreciate her. And she is the CEO of the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts and the executive producer of the Out Music Awards. And it's my pleasure and my honor to give to you. Oh, and she's also the winner of the Boyce Shavers Award in 2013. I had to throw that in there. And her name is Deirdre Meredith, and she's also known as the Billboard chart-topping, hope I said that correct, Miss Deepa Soul, Deirdre Meredith. Welcome to us.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I am well. I'm excellent. I'm blessed. I'm honored. I'm humbled. All those great things. How are you?
I'm so cool. Another thing that Miss Deepa Soul has done that a lot of people don't know is that she gave me a nickname that I'm honored to wear, and people don't know about it, but she called me the teddy bear. Yeah, silky smooth teddy bear with my little sexy self.
Yes. No. Exactly, exactly, ladies. Know that. Cheryl knows it, and hands off.
Yeah. Cheryl knows it, and you know it, but, you know, for different reasons, I'm sure.
Yes.
So,
yes,
what is going on? So much is going on with you. Where would you like to start?
Oh, I don't know. Just start from, the major thing in my life that I've dedicated my work towards, and that is building this entertainment platform so that people, regardless of their sexual orientation, can authentically express themselves. And, express themselves without any apology and never any fear of losing an opportunity. Just a place where they can stand equivalently in the entertainment industry, and that this industry, because the LGBT music independent artist movement is absolutely a thriving and viable industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we come together one night for the Out Music Awards, just like they come together for the MTV Awards and the Grammy Awards and the Black Entertainment Music Awards and the Latin Grammy Awards. Yes, there is gay music culture. Yes, there are places for you to shine, one place for you to shine, and that is with the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts. And that has been my dedication, because I totally believe that this is already done. The universe already conspired for this to take place, and we will be celebrating the 25th anniversary of Alt Music in January 2015. So I am thoroughly excited. I am always motivated and, you know, driven, literally driven, and I'm driving. And I'm just happy to know that we're on the freedom train to victory, and I'm happy to be the instrument that God has chosen, and, you know, that platform, I use it to expose the truth of what's going on with our youth, and particularly our LGBT youth and our youth of color. And to not only expose it, but to educate and give people an opportunity to not only be aware, but to also say, hey, how can I be a part of helping, or how can I be a part of creating some change for these young people? So that is what I'm constantly doing, and what I'm currently working on is making sure that we are ready to go for the 25th anniversary in January.
Excellent, excellent. How did you first become involved with Out Music Awards?
I first became involved with Out Music Awards when they were honoring Junior Vasquez. They were honoring him with a Lifetime Achievement Award, Special Recognition Award, and I was there to accept on his behalf. And I, at that time, did not know that Out Music existed, and that was in about 2006. And so that night, I was so moved by the room filled with people, and Billy Porter was there, and Ari Gold was there, and so many of the artists in the community that were coming together to create this change that needed to be. And I met the founders that night, Dan Martin and Michael Biello, and I just said to them, I'm like, this is great. I mean, you guys could take this all the way to the top. But at that point, Dan and Michael had already come to the conclusion that they were ready to, you know, just segue out. And not long after the awards at the Knitting Factory that year, they decided to put a message out to all of us who had joined the Academy, who joined Out Music. At the time, they used to just call it Out Music. And they said, we are ready to transition leadership. And I stepped up. And then they appointed me executive director about a year later after that. So that's how I became involved.
Wow, wow. So now that since you've already mentioned Junior Vasquez, he was an outstanding producer for you. Outstanding.
Yes, outstanding producer for all. Like, I mean, I was so floored when I mean, the guy has done the mega hits for Cher and Beyonce and Janet Jackson and Whitney Houston, and that whole remix album with Whitney Houston, all those big anthems, and I'm like, little old me, little country me. I was like,
wow.
Okay. But at the time, the song "Nowhere Love" really moved him, because he was going through some changes, and if anyone ever attended any Junior's parties, he used songs to have a conversation, so you knew what he was saying when he was playing certain songs. And he got a hold of my record "Nowhere Love," and he was reading somebody, because that song is just about finally being fed up in a relationship where you felt like you were alone and you were in a relationship. And then you just finally said, I'm tired of being alone and being in a house that's not a home. And so this love affair is going nowhere. And it became a big underground anthem, and then he decided to release it, and it went to the top of the charts. And that was the beginning of that partnership that we made. And Jerome Farley and Kevin Williams from Nervous Records, and everyone came together and made that song a complete hit, and so on and so forth. That was the beginning of it all.
Wow. Now, who wrote it?
I wrote it, co-wrote it with some friends of mine. They were called Soul Seekers, and they were amateur producers. No one really knew who they were. But they really tried their best to make the song, pick the song up. They went to win a music conference. They even had partnered with Dwayne Harden to make it a part of a compilation. But it didn't get any pickup until Junior started buzzing it on the dance floors and the big clubs in the tunnel and different places like that. Remember the tunnel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when the song really started getting, some buzz. And then Kevin Williams from Nervous Records decided to contact me and say, okay, we want to release your record. And I'm like, okay. And so when I called Danny and Mondo, who were Soul Seekers at the time, I said, okay, guys, so we're going to get the song released. And they were like, really? And I'm like, yeah. Can you guys get these things over to Junior Vasquez? And they were like, the vocals to who? And I'm like, Junior Vasquez. And they couldn't believe me. They just was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, the universe will conspire to support you in whatever you claim. Do you claim this moment? Get me those vocals. That was
wow.
It. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, believing in yourself took you with this particular song to number 3 on the Billboard charts.
Yeah, it broke out right there at number 3. And actually, Cher was number 1 that week with Believe.
You know what? I have to say, if for me, if it's a choice between Nowhere Love and Believe, I'm going with Nowhere Love. So let me just play it for the people. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm sad.
Hello.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That song, you played the long version. You like making me ready to go back to the floor and hit the runway.
Yo, look, man, we're not playing those shorts. We are not playing those shorts up in here. You got to get the full version. I'm not fading it out. I'm not, nope. I want people to dance and have a good time and understand why I love the music that I love so much.
Yes,
ma'am.
Right,
right before the end, you get funky all over again. I mean, you know, you be into that, this love affair, you know, you want to break it down a little bit, you know.
Yes, that song was such a, you know, I've had so many different, you know, my first time actually seeing a drag queen lip sync to my song was Kevin Aviance.
Oh, my God.
Kevin Aviance got on that stage and he turned. I was like, oh, my God, I have to perform that song after you.
Right? And nobody cares that you're really singing it.
Okay,
and that
but I mean,
Kevin was just lip syncing. Oh, no.
I had come to the club a few weeks prior to it was actually my debut to the underground scene was Junior's birthday, which is a huge industry night, and that's the night he decided to debut me on stage. And so I decided to, like, go to the club and, you know, just hang out and just check out the vibe. And that night, Kevin Aviance lip-synced to my song, and I went to the DJ booth, and I'm like, I can't perform like that.
I hear you.
He's like,
You're gonna. No.
And Kevin Aviance actually was the one that introduced me that night when I performed. He basically said, here you are, darling. And I was like, oh, my God. And actually that night, I opened for Byron Stingley that night. It was such an amazing, amazing moment in time.
Wow. Well, I have a caller on the line who would like to ask you some questions or say hello, I'm sure. Is this you, Carl?
Yes. Yes.
Carl Thornton.
I've been listening to
Deeper Soul.
Hi,
Carl.
How are you?
Congratulations on your
new single. You are truly inspiring. Truly inspiring in listening to you. You're just really amazing. And, I'm sorry.
I said congratulations on your new single. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask a quick question about what the process is for submitting my music to Out Music.
Oh, for the Out Music Awards.
Yeah.
The Out Music Awards season will be starting in September. But what you do is you go to you're going to be joining the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts. If you're familiar with the Grammys, and they are NARIS, the National Association for Recording Arts and Sciences, correct?
Right.
All right. So LARA, the call letters for our academy, the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts. So you will go to the LARA, www.thelara.org, and there you can register by just joining the academy. And it's $25 a year for individual recording artists and $50 a year for dual and groups. We also have creative industry professionals who basically will be listed on our site as, you know, hair professionals and, you know, makeup artists and, you know, directors. And, you know, it's all about us LGBT people coming together and showing ourselves however we are as a creative, creative industry professional. If you're a recording artist, if you're a producer, if you're a director, if you're a makeup artist, if you're a hairstylist, all of us come together on that one night and we show ourselves. So spread the word, let everyone know this is our industry, this is our night, just like there's Black Entertainment Awards, there's the Latin Grammy Awards. You know we have our own culture, we have our own lingo, and before there was Lady Gaga, we were the Gaga, and that is the truth.
Yes, before Lady Gaga even knew she was born that way, Carl Bean said, born this way.
Exactly.
Can you give that website again, Deepa? Can you give that?
The LARA. www.thelara.com. thelara.org.
Okay.
We're a nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit charitable organization. So it's the org site. But the Out Music Awards is the actual show. So that's separate of the Academy, and that's what, you know, the Academy honors the artists who are part of the Academy at the Out Music Awards.
Okay.
And so when you go to thelara.org, you'll see some of the past honorees, past winners, and you'll get the chance to learn more about us because we not only do the Out Music Awards, we also have a film that we have been working on since I came in office in 2009. We started filming. I came in office in 2007. And so in 2009, we started recording and creating archives so that we can then create the history to create a film that we now have named For Which We Stand, One Queer Music Nation in the Visible. And that film will be epic because the 25th anniversary of the Out Music organization will be celebrated in January 2015 in New York City, where it all began. And
amazing.
The centerpiece of the film will be the triumphant moment of our journey coming together. And it'll be right there in the center of Broadway, Times Square, at Town Hall. It is an amazing theater. I'm so excited for us all. We made it.
Thank you so very much for that.
You are welcome so very much. And I just tell every artist who's, you know, who is a recording artist first, if you are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, pansexual, you know, asexual, queer, be that on top of your profession. And don't have any fear or any shame or any feeling of not belonging or any aspiration to try and be a part of something that don't want nothing to do with you. Be that. Know where you are, know where you stand, and know that there is a place, and that is the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts in every sense of the word. You can shine, you can show up and be exactly who you are, and know that there's a place for you to soar. And I'm so excited for every artist, every single artist that puts it out there. I want you to know that the universe has already conspired to support anything you claim. Ashe.
And the amen go right there. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you,
Carl.
Thank
you. I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you.
And
thank
keep
you.
Making
you
it
too.
Do what it do,
thanks.
Baby.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yes. You know, this is what I'm saying. You can't help yourself, D. You just want to inspire and encourage the world, you know? And that's a wonderful thing. And, you just reminded me that it's time for me to pay my dues to Lara. I think I'm you know, maybe a little bit late, but I'm gonna pay my dues because it's important. Not that I'm submitting anything, but I need to be a part of the Academy, and I support the Academy 100% wholeheartedly. So, and all that you are doing and all that you've done. Which is a lot.
Ma'am.
Which is a lot. People don't understand, you know, like somebody had, I put it out there, you know, do you support LGBT artists? Do you support LGBT music? And someone was like, well, music is music and we support all music. And I get that. I do get that. However, just like there were times that there were audiences or venues that would not support Black artists and so forth and so on. And so we had to have our own places where we could walk in the front door. It's the same thing, similar thing going on in the LGBT community. But you know, you have to be closeted in order to be accepted mainstream and to make it big, quote unquote. And we know of some artists. We know they in the life. We know they're LGBT. But they won't come out and say it because of the fear of retribution and what it might cost them in dollars and cents. But like you say, you know, I personally would so much rather just be who I am. And there is a place where I could be, you know, awarded for my efforts. Not that I've ever won an award, but I could be recognized, you know, if I kept it up and maybe put out something award worthy. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
there's a place for everybody. There's a place for us in the LGBT community, Lara. So,
yes.
You know, I want to put that out there too. There was a time, actually, from my understanding, that you were asked to closet yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, that was when my second single winded up going up to the top of the charts, and it's just that time the song broke out at number one. And consecutively, it was number one, and then it was the Hot Shot debut, and then it was the Power Pick. And so the song just flew up the charts, and so I was approached by a major label at that point to do a full-fledged, you know, album and sign a record deal. And the people that were around me, I thought were my friends. I thought that they were into me being who I was, because ironically, the single was a cover of the classic by Gladys, As I Am. And Gladys sang that song, I forget, during the Sound Factory days, so it was a Sound Factory classic. And for me to revive that song in a time where we as LGBT people are rising up for our equality, for a label to even, or anyone to even expect me to pretend to be someone that I was not, and I'm mentoring young people and telling them to be who they are and be okay with the hand they've been dealt. And, you know, it just was that moment for me. I couldn't be one to, I didn't have a choice. I really didn't have that choice. You know, based on what ancestors of ours, people who've come before us have done and sacrificed, I just thought about it consciously, and I'm like, would I consciously be trivializing what they did and what they sacrificed for the love of money and fame? And that was the moment where I turned around and just said, I can take the road less traveled, and the journey won't be much longer, but I'll get there. And that was my decision, and I walked away from that opportunity.
Absolutely. I get that. Speaking
of
that,
I got blessed with being able to do this tough job of herding cats and bringing together the Out Music Awards.
Exactly. But, you know, like you said, everything that we do is for a reason, you know, and it leads us to where we are today. You know,
yes.
I think Carl said that, but it's true for all of us that, you know, mm-hmm. the decisions that we make it in the past or made in the past, it presents us to where we are today. And so I'm going to play that second hit of yours. I believe it was As I Am.
Yes, and that's the Sound Factory classic, originally recorded by Gladys.
Right.
And Junior Vasquez produced it.
Yeah, let's play that. And everybody, don't get comfortable. Get ready to stand up and dance again, because it's on. As I Am. Okay, hello? Okay. I cut it. You know, I did. I faded it, but it hurt me to do it.
I love it. Too, because that's the 12-inch like super EP version. I'm like,
yeah, I love it though. See, but you know, I don't know if you noticed about me. I used to be a DJ.
I know.
Yeah, so I still got my turntables and vinyl down here. You know what I'm saying? So I love that kind of stuff. You know, like I play it until people pass out dancing to it. I don't care.
Yeah, I almost passed out performing that song. That part.
Oh, yeah, man.
I was like, woo! I'm like, why did you do that to yourself?
I'm saying. But that's dope, though. That's true, man. That's the thing that really gets that song pumping, you know, like right almost at the beginning, like right after the intro, and you start doing that. I'm like, what? I'm ready to get it in.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, I remember with my Japanese fans, they're so awesome. They don't speak English, but they knew all the words. And I was like, oh, my God.
So, yes, you've done some traveling, and you know, you like to get up and go. So tell me about that. Like, where have you been? Where have you performed? And let's talk a little bit about Vegas.
Okay. So let's just say I started traveling when I was a dancer, a choreographer. I started, years ago. How many years now? Almost 20. I was a dancer and choreographer for years, and so I was a part of an African ballet company called Mbongi Dance Theater. My dance master's name was Tito Sompa, and he was from the Congo. So that was the beginning of my travels abroad and just being a part of a community of brown and black people who wanted to preserve our culture and, you know, spread the culture around. And then I became off season when I wasn't dancing with the company, I was teaching dance. And so I started teaching hip hop and street jazz. And then I started teaching these professional young people who were professional dancers and professional kids in the entertainment industry, kids who danced on Broadway, kids who danced in some of the cartoons you see like Pocahontas and Polar Bear Express. Is it Polar Express? I think. That was the name. So kids who were appearing in these type of films and Broadway shows, those were the type of kids that I was teaching. And, you know, it's just a trip to look back at my life. A lot of people go, God, you've done so much. But I always remembered one instructor my freshman year in college. He says, you have 4 years to show someone that you can start something and finish. Every point in your life, professionally, spiritually, emotionally, give yourself 4 years and move on to the next echelon, because that's what those 4 years represent. So every 4 years, I stuck to that, and I made sure that once I did it for 4 years, what's next? I started planning in year number two what was going to be next, and that's how you create your trajectory in life. And so from dancing with the African Ballet Company to becoming a choreographer and a dancer myself and a teacher, and then becoming executive director of the Ethnic Arts Network, I started also, you know, commissioning artists from other countries to come to America to teach, from Brazil, from Thailand, to teach the art of their ethnic culture. And then to move on from that, and I decided then, I'm like, what's next? Well, I can sing, and I'm a musician, more of a musician than I was a singer. So then I decided that I was going to, you know, go to New York in 1999. I wanted to party like it was 1999. I meant that I was going to be in New York in 1999. And, of course, I had been in a four-year relationship at that point that absolutely hadn't reached its point. And it reached its point to the point where I could have wound up wearing a carrot suit because I was going to try to kill her. So I finally said, you know what, I'm off to New York. And not even a year later, I put out my first record. Like I said, the universe conspires to support you in whatever it is that you claim. And so I claimed that I was going to put out a record
But did I know I was going to put out a record with one of the number one DJ producers in the world? No.
Oh, my goodness.
That is how I tell people my testament to the universe, to God, to our ancestors that have you know, I mean, they're the living true testament of what you can accomplish with nothing. And so be it. And like they say in Ashe. So Las Vegas, that came about for us in 2012. The organization was vetted by MGM Grand as well as Caesars Entertainment. And we took the invitation to bring the Out Music Awards to Las Vegas. And I think that was one of the best moves for the organization because of the production quality that we were able to get in Las Vegas, because it's the entertainment capital of the world. And we were able to put on a production that we as an organization would not have been ever able to afford a set design like that. And, of course, we always accept in-kind donations of service, in-kind donation of equipment, and that is what we were given when we were here in Las Vegas, and I'm here in Las Vegas right now, as a matter of fact. Senator Pat Spearman, our first openly lesbian African-American sitting senator of the state of Nevada, is here, and she and I have conspired with the Universal Energies that we're going to produce the Out Music Awards in 2016 in Las Vegas, and that will be the year that marriage equality is on the ballot for Nevada. So we're going to plan to have a really big shindig and a real big party to change that law here in the state of Nevada. So I'm excited because Out Music is an international organization, and we have produced the awards in Chicago, New York, Las Vegas, and maybe we'll do it in Hollywood one year.
Absolutely. Sounds fabulous. Sounds fabulous, and I'm with it. And maybe I'll come out there, and me and Cheryl will come out there and sing our song and help the cause, you know?
Yeah, and maybe y'all can get married.
maybe. There you go.
The chapel's all over Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. You could, but most people in Vegas get married in a drunken stupor. And they, well, I mean, not really, but, you know, they wake up the next day and say, oh.
Yeah, oh, snap.
Yeah.
Did you just do that?
Did I do that? You know, but I love the people in Vegas. Actually, I have some friends in Vegas, so shout out to the Nevada crew. You know, I'm just teasing. You know,
yeah.
I guess I want to start controversy, but not in a bad way. I'm just teasing.
Not in a bad way.
Never that. Always keeping it positive. That's what's up. That is exactly what's up. I ain't, you know, trying to be bad at all. So. I am trying to get with the fever, though. So we got to talk about fever a little bit. How did that come about?
Oh, God. Talk about drunken stupor. Okay.
Really?
Oh, fever about, I lived in Flatbush in Brooklyn, you know, and so, of course, I had started working with young people in my community and just bringing them in my living room and teaching them songwriting and, you know, just teaching them about, you know, things to write about and, you know, gave him books to read. And, you know, so I wound up meeting this guy, Dwayne, who lived in one of the buildings in the other building across from my building in Patio Garden. And he had done a sample of a track, Feel It. It was Grace Jones. And so I was just like, oh, my God, you're bringing me back. And I'm like, this kid is in Patio Gardens in the heart of Brooklyn playing me, Grace Jones. I was just like, this is epic. And so one night I just started writing this song, and I just told him, I said, Dwayne, I'm going to write something to that. And so I did, and I wound up writing my own lyrics to a song. I named it Fever. And that song was basically me, I guess, coming of age, being a woman who was in my late 30s and felt like I was coming of age into my 40s, and, you know, I'm still sexy. I still got it. I'm still clocking them, you know. And so Fever was that anthem for those women who I felt inspired me to be that cougar that up-and-coming cougar, and so I wrote Fever. And she sat in the can for a while, that song. And then I finally recorded a funk version of Fever first. And, of course, it sat in the can, and it's buzzing around somewhere for like 3 years or so after that. I finally let them put it up online and gave vocals from that session to a friend of mine named DJ Ranny. And the rest is history, because he started leaking those vocals out to the DJ producers worldwide. And so all these remixes started showing up on YouTube. And I was like, oh, my God. And then finally he says to me last year, he's like, Deepa, I love you, with his thick Brazilian accent. I love you, Ranny. The song out, because I'm tired of you sitting around. You, Deepa, you're supposed to have the record out. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. I promise you I'm going to do a great job. And did he not do an excellent job bringing me back, not only bringing me back after being gone for about, let's see, from 2005 to 2013, and for me to come back and break out at the top of the charts again was just phenomenal. I love the universe. I love God. I love our ancestors. And all of that happens because they've touched my life. And it, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And you know, just having people to love you that much. I haven't seen Ranny in years, and he just called me and said, I'm going to do this. And it was a gift. And that gift was so huge that I think the universe just went boomerang, and that song went to the top again. And not only did that song go to the top of the dance music charts, it crossed over to the electronic dance music charts, and actually in the top 40, and I peaked at number 25. So wow. That song is still being remixed by people who just want to remix it, and I'm so thankful and humble, and I'm grateful. And it's a jam, and it's awesome.
So let's play it. Let's do it.
All right.
Let the people hear it. Fever by Deepa Soul. If you had not asked me to, I would have played that one all the way to the end because I love it.
I know. It's like 16 remixes of that song. I love it, too. But I'm like, oh, my Lord. Yeah, so, I mean, I love that you love the songs, and I love all the people that love the song, and I absolutely, I have to remind myself, I'm like, that's you?
Yes, yes.
That's really you, yeah. I'll be performing, actually. I haven't done any of the Pride Festivals because I've been busy, you know, really producing the Out Music Awards and finishing up the production of this film, For Which We Stand, in which you can check out the trailer for the LGBT queer music music documentary. It's called ForWhichWeStand.com. You can go and check out the trailer for the movie. But I am going to perform one Pride Festival, and that is right there in San Jose. I'll be doing the San Jose Silicon Valley Pride Festival. I had some dear friends from California, which I spent much of my time. I'll be reuniting with a lot of them in the Bay Area, so I'm so excited about that. I didn't do San Francisco Pride or New York Pride or any of these prides for quite some time because I've really been dedicated to the LARA, the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts. I want every creative industry professional, from recording artists to producers to DJs to hairstylists to makeup artists, to join the Academy. Go to www.thelara.org, thelara.org, and please check out the Out Music Awards on outmusicawards.com so you can see that we are ready to take our place in the entertainment industry as a viable platform of LGBT people who come together to celebrate us and what we contribute to inspire the mainstream music industry and what we contribute to this great fabric of this country and the world abroad. So, Javon, I want to thank you so much for taking the moment to honor me as you have. You know, that moment, my niece still has my award that you guys gave me, but
yeah.
Altria, she still has that on her mantle. She just refuses because that was just this moment for her, just as it was for me. But she wanted to come up there with me, to tell you the truth, when you guys gave me the award.
Wow.
She felt like, she feels like she's so much a part of me, and I love that she really cherishes the award as much as I do, because I cherish her, so she... I trust her to bestow and hold my award. And I just thank you for always checking in and just making sure that, you know, sometimes you just got to check in on people who are doing some acts of impossibility and just say, hey, are you okay? How can I help? That's one of my, if someone was to ask me what was my, I guess, the one downside to it, is knowing people who know how hard it is for you to do what you do for this community as a black woman, as a lesbian, and to know that they could take the energy to slight you versus lift you up.
Exactly, exactly.
The saddest part for me of this work is to see someone that you have done all you could do for them. You know, this organization is an organization for all people who are members of the Academy. And I was recently criticized horrifically because I wasn't supporting one particular artist's dream and endeavor to, you know, become this history-breaking opportunity. Every one of the artists who are members of this Academy, they have amazing projects, documentaries they're working on, albums, first time to be this, first time to be that. We're all doing some first-time things, but this organization's platform is here to serve each artist that gets on that stage. And the mission of LARA is to expose you to a broader audience base And what you do from being exposed on that broader to that broader audience, because you were exposed to people that you had never known existed, that they never knew you existed. And that's how they became acquainted with your music. That's how you got other opportunities. And to be criticized horrifically the way I was getting, and some of the people about board were getting hit with. And we're like, we can't take each individual artist's projects and lift them up and help them raise money for them. We just can't do that. It's against the ethics, period. And imagine what kind of worms we would open up if we support this artist to raise money, support that artist to raise money, support that artist, because everyone's project and everyone's dream is equally important. And that's where we stand as an organization, and that is what we're here for. And again, we're all volunteer-based. Clearly, we're not being paid to do this work. This is right. A civil rights work that we do. And we're not here to, you know, I'm not here to serve individuals. I'm here to serve a cause and a movement. And if they are on that same page, it's about the movement. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the movement. And God bless you. And Ashe.
Ashe. And with that, thank you for coming on. I want to thank Carl. And we're going to play the remix of Get Up on the Out.